Thank you.
Okay, good morning. So I will be talking about calculations of evapotranspiration using different methods. And so, as everyone knows, there are a few dozens of semi-empirical formula which have been used to calculate evapotranspiration. Actual potential evapotranspiration, actual evapotranspiration, and infiltration as component of the water balance, but very often calculations are based on a single conceptual mathematical models, for example, just one of the models for potential or reference evapotranspiration, and that's why selection of adequate model should, in my opinion, should, and everybody probably would agree, should be based on corroboration with limited field data. So that's why I will begin with the type of uncertainties in water balance calculations, then we'll give a general approach that I used in which I tested 23 formulas for evapotranspiration, and then used well-known Boudicca's approach to calculate actual evapotranspiration. We'll show example from the Savannah River site and corroboration with corroboration of simulated results with field measurements, and we'll finish with some conclusions. So all components of the water balance equation are uncertain. Uncertain topography, surface hydrology, like runoff topography, is quite different. Soil sediments property, preferential, we're often dealing with preferential and episodic rainfall events and episodic infiltration, very uncertain the depth and scale for which all components of the water balance equation are written. So, in fact, we are dealing with two major types of uncertainties. One is called epistemic uncertainty, which is the model uncertainty due to lack of knowledge about conceptual understanding of processes and parameters, and it is reducible uncertainty. Once we know more data, we improve our models and we reduce epistemic uncertainty. Another type is called aleatoric uncertainty, which is the parameter uncertainty due to spatial and temporal variability of climatic processes and parameters, and which can be accounted using geostatistical model. And this is irreducible uncertainty, because we cannot reduce the randomness of the actual meteorological parameters or soil properties. And all these uncertainties are incorporated into the water balance equation. So at the same time, we have often limited knowledge about parameters, and that's why one of the alternative modern approaches is to use the so-called fuzzy systems modeling. And in this sense, fuzziness is a source of uncertainty due to uncertainty of boundaries and type of measurements due to lack of information. And sometimes we add information based on us, on our intuition or previous knowledge. And in this case, the so-called possibility theory, rather than probability theory, are used to handle fuzzy information. So the main approach that I used is the Boudicca semi-empirical models, one of the most widely used worldwide models, which gives you the relationship between the aridity index, which is the ratio between potential evapotranspiration and precipitation on the x-axis. And here is the ratio between the actual evapotranspiration and precipitation. And this is the original Boudicca model, which was developed as statistical statistical evaluation of several types of earlier developed model for this relationship. So I simplified this model and presented it in a simple exponential form. which provides much better and simpler use. So we will be talking about evaluation of the aridity index and then evaluation of actual evapotranspiration from this model. So, as I said, I tested 23 models, which I grouped into three major categories. Those which were called by authors actual evapotranspiration, so the first column is the name of the author, then groups, actual, and here are different parameters which I used in these models, including temperature, radiation, humidity, precipitation, wind speed, and other. So here, actual evapotranspiration model, then potential evapotranspiration models, and reference. And I used terms initially given by the authors. So the approach was tested for the Savannah River site in southern Carolina, which is characterized by humid subtropical climate with relatively short mild winters and long warm humid summers and shallow groundwater system. So we need data to test our models. So observed data, highlighted data, for example, averaged monthly averaged rainfall, relative humidity, seemingly looking random, but I decomposed them into the general trend, seasonal and random components. So here you can see seemingly random data, but in fact, from this data, you can find a well-defined trend. However, at this time, at the end of 1980s, you can see some changes, which is can very difficult to identify from the random-looking data for rainfall and humidity, or periodically looking data for solar radiation and temperature. And again, you can see some change in pattern at the end of 1980s or beginning of 1990s. At the very end, I will show you how to combine integrate all types of data, showing the importance of this approach. So here is a time series of calculated potential evapotranspiration, as I mentioned, only from the potential evapotranspiration group with overlapping patterns of probability density functions, quite a wide range of probability density functions. So this potential evapotranspirations and precipitation were used to calculate the aridity index. So the upper plot shows the time change of the aridity index for the using potential evapotranspiration formulas, and here is the aridity index calculated using reference evapotranspiration formulas. On the right-hand side, you can see two box plots. On the left-hand side, from potential evapotranspiration, and this is from relative evapotranspiration. You can see quite wider variability of aridity index calculated from relative evapotranspiration formulas. And actually, relative evapotranspiration formulas showed a very poor corroboration with field data comparing to potential evapotranspiration formulas. So now next is calculated actual evapotranspiration from Boudicca's model based on the aridity index that I just showed. This is from several formulas which authors call actual evapotranspiration, and then on top of it, in red color, I show those calculated from Boudicca's model. And here, this is the time series, and so the overall range from the Boudicca's model, just on top of those calculated from existing formulas, and on the right-hand side, probability density functions, and then I compare the probability density from different formulas with that from limited field measurements. So you can see that field measurements somewhere in the middle of those calculated from different formulas. So then I used maximum likelihood Bayesian ranking of potential evapotranspiration to determine the best formulas matching field data. Here are two formula. One of them is Morton formula, and then I modified the class A potential evaporometers formula. So these two formulas give the better match with field data. Here is one shown in red color, and on top of it in is black from field measurements. So then the maximum likelihood function was used for averaging, averaging potential evapotranspiration from different formulas and compared with field data. Here you can see that average formula, average curve is wider than field measurements. And it is quite obvious because field measurements are usually limited in time. That's why they give much narrower range of probability distribution, while a combination of different formulas give a more conservative probability distributions. So, however, often we don't have sufficient number, and source of uncertainty is fuzziness of boundaries and parameters. So now I briefly introduce the concept of fuzzy numbers, and fuzzy number is defined as a family of intervals representing an estimate of uncertain number with various degree of membership function from 0 to 1. Now, in order to compare different membership functions or different fuzzy numbers, we use the idea of intersection between these fuzzy numbers. And again, I did a comparison of different formulas to do the corroboration between calculated and measured data. And here, the fuzzy number is shown over the possibility curves, and it is shown as a fuzzy trapezoidal number, which defines the range of probability, or the range of potential evapotranspiration, and gives, again, even more conservative solution comparison with the curve determined from the maximum likelihood method. So the same approach was used for fuzzy evapotranspiration, again, trapezoidal number over the calculated probability distribution curves. And then using fuzzy arithmetics, I determined the fuzzy infiltration as the difference between rainfall and actual evapotranspiration. So in conclusion, water balance calculations include three principal kinds of uncertainty related to randomness of meteorological events, lack of information included in models, and unsharpness of boundaries. And the last direction of future research, in my opinion, is modeling of the uncertainty propagation over time for different components of soil and atmosphere water budget. And as an example, I show the combination integrated view of all parameters, including parameters given as a standard precipitation evapotranspiration index over time. In red color, drying events, and in blue, wetting events. And the same procedure, which I explained, in my opinion, should be given for each of those periods, either wetting or drying, which apparently would be quite different and described by different models. Thank you very much.
you about irrigation, you know, in regions where there's a lot of irrigation and impact of that on how this model would predict the actual BP.
That's a good question. What I presented is for non-irrigated areas. So definitely at irrigated areas, irrigation should be included as a component of precipitation, and calculations should be provided for limited time periods, irrigated seasons, unirrigated seasons. So essentially, approach will remain the same. I don't see any differences. I worked a lot on irrigated areas doing field work, and I don't see the need to modify the general approach, but the time sequence of events should be taken into account. So you cannot do like monthly averaged values as I did here on non-irrigated areas. It should be another frequency of measurements.
Okay. Thank you.